let's engage cheesy intro mode now. Hey folks, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the BAMF podcast. I'm your ever-loving blue-eyed host, Michael Lafferty, and with me today is the president and founder of Battlefield Press International, Mr. Jonathan Thompson. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. Just got home from picking my son up. You know, we have a four-day weekend this weekend, so we're planning on, like, goofing off and doing some gaming and all kinds of fun stuff.
Nice. What kind of gaming you guys have in mind?
Sunday I'm running the first session of my new Dragon Age campaign.
Oh, cool. Hey, is this your first time running that game, or you've done it before?
This is my first time running this game.
Okay. So you read the book. What do you think about it?
I like it. It's a very nice, very easy system, and it gives me a lot of representative of the old style of gaming.
Yeah, here it was very old school.
Yes. It's definitely got that going for it.
Yeah, that has apparently been a pretty solid hit for Green Ronin. They just hired a new developer, Will Hindmarch. We had him on the podcast a couple months back. Really cool guy. And looks like there's a lot more coming out for that game in the next year.
Yeah, I'm, I buy the stuff from Global Quarterly or, you know, in that area, trying to get all the, anything I can find for the system, I either pick, you know, buy, or if it's a free download, I'll grab it.
Cool. Hey, did you play the video game at all before?
I hadn't prior to buying the first box set.
Which you did after that?
I have that. It took me, you know, 6 months, but I finally beat the stupid thing.
Yeah, I've heard good things about it, but it's, ever since Diablo 2, I'm hesitant to buy some of those games just because Diablo 2 kind of destroyed my life for about 6 months while I was trying to beat that game. So I actually had to give it to a friend after I beat it, so I'm tempted to roll up new characters and try again. It's kind of like a 12-step program.
I had to start it twice because the first time I messed up somewhere and, you know, ended up, I have no idea what's going on, but I can't beat this game this way.
Well, I understand sometimes you can make the wrong conversational choice, or, you know, there's different decision paths, and they can wind up in a bad place you can't recover from, kind of thing.
Yeah, well, it's really good. I like the interaction. I mean, the first time I played, there's an assassin character that, you know, picks up with you, and the first time I played, he tried to kill me a second time because I had made the wrong choices during the course of play. And I'm going, well, I'm not going to do that again. So the next time I made sure he was friendly toward me. So when the assassins came after me, he protected me.
Oh, okay, cool. That reminds me of some D&D games I've been in.
What's that?
Reminds me of some D&D games I've been in.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I like BioWare. I like their games. I like the fact that they have a story to go with their games. It's not just encounter to encounter.
Yeah, they do really good work. They really do. Well, hey, speaking of cool gaming products, we have you on tonight to talk about your Kickstarter. You're doing a new sci-fi setting for the Savage Worlds game system, and it's based on the novel, Warren C. Norwood's Double Spiral War. And I think you've also brought back the novels in ebook form, and people can pick up the novels for that either on Amazon.com, the big bookstore online, or RPG.now.com. You've also got them available there as well. It seems like you've got a big affection for this particular world. Can you tell us what makes it so awesome for you?
I first read it when I was laying in bed sick in high school. A friend had brought me literally a paper bag full of books, and, you know, I've always been a bigger science fiction than I have been a fantasy fan, and so I dug through the books and saw this series and said, look, all three books are here, and I started reading it, and I just kind of fell in love with it. I can't give you any one thing that drew me to it. I don't know if it was, you know, the fact that it's a love story set in the backdrop of a war, or if it was the war itself. Because I am a military historian by trade as well. But I just fell in love with it, and, you know, right after I read it, I developed some stuff for the third edition GURPS, and we played for almost a year before we moved on to something else.
Oh, cool. Well, if someone's unfamiliar with the setting, how would you describe it? You know, what's kind of your elevator pitch for a newbie?
I described it as a love story, a story of love and loss set in the backdrop of a galactic war. And, I mean, there is a lot of that going on in the book, you know, between the two of the main characters who are kind of star-crossed. One is from one faction, the other one's from the other, and the woman, Marcia Kay, her father is actually the admiral in charge of one of the factions, so it makes their time together difficult.
So it's a little Romeo and Juliet, kind of?
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the battles, Norwood was also into history,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the ship battles come right out of similar engagements in World War II between navies.
Oh, well, that's very cool. I mean, that's kind of what George Lucas was doing in Star Wars. If you research a little bit, the Death Star battle was pretty much modeled on a World War II air battle where they were trying to bounce bombs, you know, into some Norwegian fjords, you know, which is kind of where the flying down the trenches in the Death Star came from. Which I remember the name of the movie now. It might have just been the Dam Busters. But, well, that's very cool. Well, hey, we've described the novel. As a gaming setting, what is particularly appealing about the Double Spiral War as an RPG?
Well, in play, you can either play as military, I mean, which is the obvious choice. Is either, you know, for one of the factions, or you can be a mercenary, or you can be a merchant, you know, or just even in some cases you can even be a treasure hunter, because there's all kinds of planets that are unexplored in the Double Spiral Galaxy.
Okay, so you could kind of be a fringer, you know, exploring, you know, ancient alien civilizations and writing their ruins and whatnot.
Right.
Okay. Well, it sounds like the main action is really happening, you know, in the war. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
I'm sorry, say again?
It sounds like the main action is really happening in the actual war, kind of a military conflict. Could you sort of describe that?
Well, it's, descriptively, it'd be like, historically, it would be like Japan and U.S. and the Pacific. But, you know, one side. One side is you know, trying to get revenge for, you know, a loss in the war previously, you know, a previous war between the two. And, you know, it's basically that story of revenge is dominant in there as well.
Okay. That sounds like the main alien antagonist in this is the Sondak?
The United Central Systems and the Sondak Confederation are the two factions going at it.
Okay.
Now, can you play as humans or Sondak, or just as humans?
The Sondak, you know, they're both human. Both the groups are human.
Okay.
Human, you know, cultures. The aliens are, you know, kind of on the fringe and actually aren't part of either faction.
Okay.
That part of the story has diplomats going to the various aliens trying to get them to pick a side. And there's a couple, like the Klosians and a couple other races that breathe methane. And methane is used as the primary fuel source for starships.
Okay, it's kind of like in World War II in the Pacific, where oil was a major resource, you know, to fuel the fleets.
Right, and, you know, how they get methane is they take it from the atmospheres of these planets, and so they've got to do it and, you know, get permission to do so. And one race is in the beginning of the book managed to set their entire atmosphere on fire because people were taking their methane without permission.
they set their atmosphere on fire to stop people from stealing their methane?
Yes.
Isn't that kind of committing suicide?
No, they have a way they control it.
Oh, okay.
Part
okay.
of their defense systems.
Okay, so it's kind of just a very aggressive protective maneuver. Okay, that's cool. Nice, nice. Okay, it looks like the Kickstarter has been pretty successful. I mean, I've been reading about Kickstarters lately, and most that hit the 30% mark wound up getting fully funded. And you've got about 3 weeks to go, and you're right now at 375 out of 500. So you are really closing in. I mean, you're just 125 away from your goal. So congratulations on it.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised, and I mean, I'm happy. It is, you know, this is kind of a project I'm doing out of love for the system, and since it's very, I mean, the setting, and since the it's fairly unknown since the books have been out of print for 20 years, it's, you know, tough to kind of find people who are actually familiar with it. But I thought that Savage Worlds was missing a hard sci-fi, space opera type setting, and I thought this would be a good way to fill that void.
Okay, cool, cool. So yeah, but I'll go ahead and post this tonight as soon as I can, try to get some more attention to it. Are you guys making any tweaks to the Savage Worlds rules to accommodate the setting?
We're doing a little. I'm going through books and getting permission from various publishers to use, you know, stuff that they've already created to try to fill it out. You know, getting their permission to reuse their, you know, their hindrances and edges.
Okay. Sorry, it's my dog in the background. She's not a big Savage Worlds fan. She's more of an old school gamer. So she's getting upset. Sorry about that. All right, we covered the novels. We're talking about the product. What kind of rewards are you offering for the Kickstarter?
Well, I don't have the page up in front of me, but I know that we're offering a PDF only, and then if you get to some of the higher marks, we're giving away a free e-copy of the novel to go along with it if you get one of the print versions.
Okay, cool, cool. Yeah, I actually have that page up in front of me. Looks like $5, you're just kind of saying, hey, I want to support your effort. And at $10, you get the PDF only, and you list it as a contributor. $20 is where you start to get the PDF. And for each additional $20, you get an additional copy of the book. You also get your name listed as a contributor. And let's see, at $25, you get a copy of the book, an electronic copy of, you know, format of your choice. You get your name listed in the contributor, specification of all future editions. And let's see, at $30, you get that's the international backer, so it's basically the same as $25, but for someone who lives not in the continental United States. $35 is for the physical copy for someone who's in the... $25, yes, you have to copy the novel. And then $30 and $35 are the same same things as $20 and $25, just with an extra $10 for international.
Right.
Okay, cool. All right. Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, our license also allows us to add new materials, so we are starting a line of novels that will expand the universe, and those novels will be turned into source books as well.
Oh, wow. Okay. Are you writing those yourself?
No. We've got... I've hired out some known, at least RPG, in the RPG field people to handle the novels.
Oh, can I ask who?
We're having a lot of the ink hasn't settled, so I'm waiting, but...
Okay, so it's still secret at this point.
Right.
Certain unknown mystery authors have at this point been in conversations about writing it. Okay, well, that's pretty interesting. Okay. Any idea when to make an announcement about that?
As soon as we can. Probably within the next couple of weeks.
Okay. Are those going to be released primarily in e-book format or in Dead Tree as well?
Well, they're going to be in Dead Tree as well. it hasn't gone live yet, but through RPG Now, you'll be able to buy a copy of the trilogy on the bus as well.
Okay, using their new print-on-demand service?
Right.
Okay, yeah, that's okay, nifty. Okay, cool. All right, so we have new novels coming out. We have the Savage World setting. Anything else you have planned for this particular universe?
We are going to release a version in the 12 Degree systems that Rogue Games uses for Thousand Suns and Colonial Gothic.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be probably the next thing that we bring up.
Okay. Well, what's time frame on that?
Probably this summer.
Okay. And that was the what system from Rogue Games?
12 Degrees.
Oh, okay. All right. That's one I don't have much experience with, actually. So, all right. So that's something I look forward to. Is that more of a narrative system, or what's up with that?
It's like any, I would say, D&D or something. I mean, I don't know that. I don't think it's necessarily a narrative system, but I never really have bothered with the definitions. I just find ones I like and go, hey, I want to use this, and do. But, yeah, it's, you know, you build characters and you go. The one of the unique things about, I noticed about 12 Degrees, though, is it doesn't have an intelligence stat. Everything is your ability, your raw IQ, determined by what skills you have. And if your skill can do something, then, you know, instead of making it off intelligence, it's just as a skill, and that's how much you know.
Yeah, it's really hard to role play an intelligence 18 if you have an intelligence 5 in real life.
Right.
So yeah, sorry, my dog has about intelligence 3 right now, and there's a coyote hanging out, so that has her attention. So sorry about that.
That's fine.
So okay, cool. And so that'll be coming out this summer. Okay, well, more look forward to, and you've got the novel coming out in print form soon, and the print on demand from RPG Now. It's available on Amazon as well in ebook form, people interested in that. And go to Kickstarter.com and do a search for Double Spiral, and Double Spiral War will be the only thing that comes up at that point. And that's definitely something to check out. Anything else you want to cover in regards to this property?
No, I can't think of anything. So, I mean, I'm happy that I was able to get the license after, you know, so long after reading it. The only thing that I'm disappointed about is that the author, Warren Norwood, passed away in 2005.
Didn't you get a chance to talk to him?
I never got a chance to talk to him.
Oh, I'm sorry. What's the process like of obtaining a license like that?
What's that?
What's the process like of obtaining a license like that?
Well, I went through his agents who gave me in contact with his widow, who I have managed to, you know, become friends with since we developed the license, got the license and all.
Okay.
So it's, and she's really nice, and I think, you know, and she was very excited that somebody was interested in his work.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure she's probably thrilled to see it back in print after all these years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I warned her ahead of time, so this is the RPG industry, you're not going to expect a lot of money from us, but she was just happy to see it out and to see that, somebody cared enough for his work to make an RPG out of it.
Yeah, that's completely understandable. Just the appreciation for the material. If let's say I was, you know, I know I asked about elevator pitches earlier, but kind of the two big franchises in science fiction movies are kind of Star Trek and Star Wars. Although this is probably more along the lines of maybe a Heinlein, especially with more of the hard sci-fi edge to it. How would you describe it to somebody who was just familiar with sci-fi and role playing, like from movies and maybe a couple books?
Well, I cross it between Asimov and E.E. Smith.
Okay. Oh, Doc Smith, the Lensman.
Yes.
Okay. That's pretty cool stuff. Okay. The original inspiration for the Green Lanterns. Sorry, I'm just so proud that I know that I had to mention it. Forgive me. It's that one book trivia I like to trot out whenever possible.
Yeah, for a long time, I thought I was the only person who knew who E.E. Smith was.
Yeah, I'm a big Green Lantern fan. That's how I came across that. There was actually a really, really bad anime that was made into the Lensman a few years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, you know about that. Yeah, it actually caused the family to quit talking to anybody about retaining the rights and doing anything else with it, which is a shame. But, yeah, it was the original inspiration for the Green Lanterns and just a really cool book. Well, series of books, so.
Yeah, I probably own about 4 complete sets because they were so hard to find. I just bought them as I found them.
Are they out of print now?
I think they have been reprinted by somebody. I know they have because I recently bought a 2-volume set from the Science Fiction Book Club.
Okay. Yeah, no, my dad had a copy kept in the bathroom because that's where my father does all of his serious reading. But I hadn't seen it in bookstores for a while. So, okay, cool. Is there anything else you want to mention about the Spiral War before we call it a podcast?
No, I think that's it.
Okay, cool, cool. And
if anybody has, you know, any further questions or that, you know, anything they might want to know, they can go ahead and send me a note on the Kickstarter page, or they can email me at thompsonjm@gmail.com.
Okay, so if folks have any more questions, just reach out, and Jonathan will be happy to talk to you about that. Hey, I guess while we're talking, in case someone on the podcast and listener pool happens to be a backer for the Eldritch Skies, we should mention that the park at that's progressing. You guys just retained a new artist, and we're getting things finished up on your Eldritch Skies Kickstarter. Do we have any kind of date on that one yet, or is that still kind of up in the air?
We have set the currently released date at February 28th.
Oh, that's coming up in a hurry then, isn't it?
Yeah, and backers will get their copies first before I release it out.
Okay, and let's see, your new artist now is Darren McDivitt, right?
What's that?
Darren McDivitt. I'm sorry, why am I saying Darren? Bradley McDivitt. I was thinking of Darren Calvert for no good reason. Bradley McDivitt is
Bradley McDivitt and Eric Lofton are doing the internal art, and Joel Biss is doing the cover.
Okay, cool. And you said February 28th?
Yes.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Okay. Well, Jonathan, thanks for your time. Really appreciate you. I know you're a very busy man. I appreciate you taking time to talk with me.
Sure, no problem. I enjoy talking to you.
All right. Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Banff Podcast, and we will catch you next time. So take care.